Well, that's what I wanted to talk to you about this morning is the Holy Spirit. That's what was on my heart this morning. To be led and controlled by the Holy Spirit, to allow the Holy Spirit to lead and to guide and to govern your life. It sounds really easy coming off of my tongue. It's another thing to actually put that into operation. Because if we go back into the book of John, we see how intimate you must be with God to be able to operate and be led by the Holy Spirit. Our God is an intimate God. He said, "I desire my spirit to indwell men." And all from the beginning of the Bible, when it says from Genesis, where he talks about, "And the Spirit hovered over the face of the deep." Hovering in that manner and in that way that it was context was like a man hovering over his wife to reproduce. And it shows how much God wants to reproduce in us his character and his nature and be led, for us to be led by his spirit of wisdom, his counsel, his life. Just as a man and a woman cannot have children without intimacy, neither can we operate and flow in victory and in the power of the Holy Spirit without intimacy with God. And so anytime we are disconnected in the area of intimacy, we're going to be disconnected in the area of the Holy Spirit, because we're going to close off the opportunity for us to be able to be led by the Holy Spirit. And right now we have lots of things that are pulling, I say this a lot, pulling on our mind, our jobs, our families, our loved ones, our finances, our resources, changes, moves, different things that are happening in our lives. And we have to, instead of looking at those things and allowing them to distract us and to pull us away from being intimate with God and having time with Him, we need to cause them to push us to God. Jesus said, apart from God, apart from Him, apart from the Father, I can do nothing. Jesus Himself said that. He was so one. The Father and the Son and the Spirit are one. And they don't do anything without the other. They're so intertwined. And in John 17, Jesus prayed, "Father, I pray that they would be one, as even the Father and the Son and the Spirit are one," that we would be one with God. And so today the title of my sermon is called the same power that rose Jesus from the dead in Romans 8 and 11. That's kind of like my sermon that I want to talk to you about today. Jesus made it very clear to his disciples in Acts 4 and 8 that they were to go into Jerusalem to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Now this is in obedience. This is in obedience to Christ, who in John really emphasizes that intimate relationship with God that we're to have and the importance of being filled with the Holy Spirit of God and being led by the Holy Spirit of God. You know, Paul also prayed in the book of Ephesians that we would be bodies wholly filled with nothing but God. And when you think about that statement, when I just even read that prayer, that's what he prayed, that we would be bodies wholly filled with God. I mean, when I just read it, I'm immediately envisioning every cell and fiber of my being submitted unto God for his leadership in my life, my mind, my will, my emotions, my thoughts. When something like a foreigner, we're talking to the young men this morning about being careful about what doors you open and things, that's for everybody. Because you are going to encounter things as you walk in this world that you're going to have to cast down and say, is that God? Does that correlate with His Word? And is that something that the Spirit of God would tell me? Or is that something that the Spirit of God would do in my life or try to influence me in that way? And so being open to the Holy Spirit is so, so, so important. So first, what is the foundation that I'm wanting to teach you? Our God is a relational God. And The Father and the Son and the Spirit are one, and we are to be one with our God. And that happens in this time through the power of the Holy Spirit indwelling us. He enables us to be one with our God. He enables us to hear His voice. He enables us to face any circumstance and any situation in our life with boldness and courage and tenacity because of the Spirit of God that lives in us. You know, we're not just going around saying, greater is He that's in me than he that is in the world. And then we go home and we're terrified about a doctor's report or about a circumstance that we're facing. At some point, we're going to have to take up our shield of faith, and we're going to have to take up our sword of the Word of God, and we're going to have to put on Christ, and we're going to have to say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I really am more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus, and I've gained a surpassing victory through the blood of the Lamb. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And we're going to have to really put that into practice in our life so that when people see us, they see a victorious person. They see something different. And that's what the Spirit of God does. He makes you different than anybody else on the face of the earth. You're a peculiar person. What are you believing in faith? What are you standing in the midst of your circumstance, Lana, even just this past year, being hit by a car, all the things that were happening in your life, all the circumstances that, and you're standing there, and I know you, and I've talked to you during that process of time, and here you say, God has taken care of me before, God will take care of me again, everything that I need. He will provide for, and the faith is most seen in trial. It really is, and I am so grateful for people who have confidence in God in some of the darkest days of their life, because that lets me know when I go through a dark day that the same God who delivered you is the same God who will deliver me, and the same God that brought you out of the fire, God will bring me out of the fire. And then I'm grateful for the constant awareness that the Spirit of God has given us, not only by witnesses, but through other means of communication that the Lord speaks to us about. He made sure that out of this oneness with God and out of this relationship with Christ, that we were going to have the power to be able to face anything in our life, that we would not be defeated on a single front, that we would have all that we need in Christ, in His Word, and through the Spirit, to be able to go through whatever we go through in this world and be able to exit out of here with victory. He made sure of that. He was not going to leave us as orphans. And when we get to this book of John and we open it up, we're just going to hear the heart of our God speaking to us through Jesus and how important it is for us to respond to that and to actually put into practice the things that we know are true and to be more aware of the power of the Holy Spirit, because it's just so important. So I want you to turn to John 14. This is just going to be a foundation of intimacy with God that we are to have to be able to walk in the Holy Spirit. We're going to go to verse 12, and Jesus is declaring something. He said, I assure you most solemnly, and I tell you, if anyone steadfastly believes in me, He himself will be able to do the things that I do, and he will do even greater things than these. Now, already that is a brain bender, because Jesus did so many works. The end of the book of John says if they were recorded, all the books of the world would not be able to contain them. And yet Jesus is saying here that you're going to do more works than I've ever done because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. Powerful. So here we are, and he says, he will do even greater things than these because I go to the Father. And I myself will grant whatever you ask in my name, as presenting all that I am, so that the Father may be glorified and extolled in and through the Son. Yes, I myself will do for you whatever you shall ask in my name and presenting all that I am. If you really love me, you will keep and obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter, a counselor, a helper, an intercessor, an advocate, a strengthener, and a standby, that he may remain with you forever. Everybody say forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, welcome, and take to its heart. Everybody say the Spirit of Truth. Because it does not see him or know and recognize him, but you know and recognize him. For he lives within you. Everybody say, he lives within me. And he will be in you. And Jesus says, I will not leave you as orphans, comfortless, desolate, bereaved, forlorn, or helpless. I will come back to you. So here he is declaring, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give you my Spirit, the Spirit of the Father, and he's going to come and live in you. And you are going to be able to ask whatever the Spirit of the Lord rises up inside of you to ask in a circumstance, in a situation that's in harmony with the will of God. And that's where that relationship is so necessary, because we all know that we ask for a lot of things that ain't Jesus. Right? So here's the connection to that. When you are in deep relationship with God and the Spirit of the Lord lives in you, you find yourself desiring the things of God. And you also have yourself asking God to do things for others, or to pour out his Spirit on the world, and you meet the needs of others because the Spirit of the Lord is inside of you, prompting you, moving you, and suggesting to you out of his own life that lives within you. And that is oneness with God. That is oneness with God. So the Spirit of the Lord brings us together in harmony with the will of God. And we begin to pray the prayers of God. We begin to declare and decree the very acts and the will of God. And those things that God already wants to bring to pass, we're now confessing them out of our mouth. We're saying, I pray, Father, right now that you will apprehend the hearts of this generation. That's in agreement and in harmony with God's will. That comes out of the Spirit of God. He wants this generation. He wants revelation to be imparted to his people. He wants a church that is white, without spot or blemish. He wants our hearts to not be mixed with the world and mixed with acts of the flesh. He wants us to be in harmony. We know that. And so often we'll hear, when we're in the Spirit and we're in oneness with God, we'll hear coming out of our mouth and out of the Holy Spirit what God desires to do in the earth. Oneness with God. That's why he says, when you ask, it will come to pass. It will be granted. Why? Because it's not a mixture of flesh and spirit. It's really the desire of the will of God. So he talks here about this Spirit is the Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit's never going to lie to us. The Holy Spirit's never going to lead us into sin. The Holy Spirit's only going to reveal truth to us. Truth. Truth in his word. The Holy Spirit is never going to be contrary to God's word. Never. So there's an intimacy here that I'm trying to show you. Go to chapter 15. I love this chapter. It's one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. There's such an intimacy in it. There's such a beautiful connection of a relationship right here. He says, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Any branch in me that does not bear fruit, that stops bearing, he cuts away and trims off and takes away. And he cleanses and repeatedly prunes every branch that continues to bear fruit to make it bear more and richer and more excellent fruit. You are cleansed and pruned already because of the word which I have given you, the teachings I have discussed with you. Listen to this. Dwell in me, and I will dwell in you. Live in me, and I will live in you. Just as no branch can bear fruit of itself without abiding in and being vitally united with the vine, neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever lives in me and I in him bears much abundant fruit. However, apart from me, cut off from vital union with me, you can do nothing. You can do nothing. Go to verses 26. But when the comforter, the counselor, the helper, the advocate, the intercessor, the strengthener, the standby comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who comes and proceeds from the Father, he himself will testify regarding me. But you also will testify and be my witness because you have been with me from the beginning. So here we have this very intimate three chapters, John 14, John 15, John 16, and John 17. Read them. Because in those are very key elements to a deep and a personal relationship with God. And the Holy Spirit of God is just that key that ties everything together and brings us into oneness with God, connecting us with the Lord. And so he's saying, it is out of this intimacy with me, it's out of your faith and your confidence in me, that I'm going to send you the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. He is going to be an intercessor within you. How many have had the Spirit of God arise in you to intercede? There is nothing more powerful than the Spirit of the Lord interceding through you. You find yourself just completely surrendered to God, and now God is flowing through you to declare and decree His will in the earth, to declare and decree a situation that He wants to resolve in your family, to declare and decree His will in the earth and in circumstances that you're dealing with or things that He desires to do in the earth. That comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. That comes from intimacy with God. It's impossible to operate in the Holy Spirit and be contrary to God's word and to the Father's heart. They're all one. They're all joined together in this beautiful intimacy. And so these chapters reveal that intimacy. So why am I telling you this? Because when we neglect our personal time with God, when we're not spending time with Him, when we're not being with Him on a daily basis and saying, you are first in my life, I'm going to set this time apart for you, then what we're saying is, we don't really want to commune with you, God. We're just going to try to get through the day without you. And yet He has given us the Holy Spirit, His life. He says to come and live in us, make His home in us, abide in us. It's like pitching a tent over us. And He wants this intimacy with us. Just like a husband and a wife want intimacy to produce children or to raise a family, God wants to be intimate with His people, to produce the will of God in the earth. And that takes time. And it takes abiding with God. And it takes being with Him and saying, you're first in my life. You're everything to me. For God to want to deposit His very DNA inside of us and say, I want to live in you, is the most precious gift He has given us. The Holy Spirit produces the character of God. The Holy Spirit produces the gifts of God. Imagine your life without the Holy Spirit. Imagine the church without the Holy Spirit. Imagine the world having the Holy Spirit being removed. It would be over. So this intimate and personal God said, I'm going to live in men. And He told the disciples in Acts chapter 1, He said, it's imperative for you that he says in this chapter in Acts 1, He goes, I want you to go to Jerusalem. That's where you're going to be endued with power from on high. You have to go to Jerusalem so that you can be endued with power from on high. You say, well, is that a significant act? Yes, it is. In the Old Testament, He often moved upon people. He flowed through His Spirit. In fact, the judges, just think of all the judges and the mighty acts that He did through the judges because the Holy Spirit would come upon them. And now He's saying to you in the New Testament, I'm going to come and live in you. When you think of what they did just when the Spirit moved on them. And then he's saying to us, I'm going to come and live in you. How much more should we be demonstrating the great works of God in the earth through the power of God that lives within us? How much more should we be every day impacting the lives of other people around us and impacting the eternal realm as far and even the realm of nations? Because when God begins to move and to stir, he moves on us. And though you may look small and frail, the next thing you know in your prayer time with God, he's having you to pray for Africa, or he's having you to pray for Nigeria, or he's having you to pray for people around the world. And all of a sudden, God connects those prayers and through the Holy Spirit that is within you with his heart, and he begins to move on the people groups of the world because of the prayers. It's so powerful. I hope you can really comprehend it. Not only is the Holy Spirit here for us to live an everyday life and to have power on an everyday basis, but he's actually inviting us into his heart and his will and his purposes in the earth by planting himself inside of us. So he says, let's go real quick into Acts, and he says, let's go to verse 4. And while being in their company and eating at the table with them, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, of which he said, you have heard me speak. So when he's talking about that, he's saying, go to Jerusalem, remember what I taught you in John. John's 14 and 15 and 16. Remember how I told you that the Holy Spirit was going to come. I want you to now go and wait for the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to come and live with you. For John baptized with water, but not many days from now, you shall be baptized and placed and introduced and into the Holy Spirit. So when they were assembled, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will reestablish the kingdom and restore it to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to become acquainted with and know what the times bring, the things and the events of time and their definite periods or fixed years and seasons, their critical niche in time, which the Father has appointed, fixed and reserved by his own choice and authority and personal power. But you shall receive power, ability, efficiency, and might when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the very bounds of the earth. So he's saying there are things that have been appointed, declared, and decreed that the Father is bringing about in his timing and in his way. Don't get distracted by things around you. All the things that are going on, what we have to do is just come to the Lord and say, give me through your Spirit and your oneness with you each and every day the ability of the Holy Spirit to do the will of God and the purposes of your heart. Don't get shaken. Don't get easily moved. He said, I'm going to give you power in your daily lives. I'm going to give you power for everything that you need. I'm going to give you power, and you're going to have that power and that authority to operate and to execute my will on the earth. You're going to have the power of God in every circumstance of your life. So he has given us, he says, and then if we go to Acts 2, it talks about the day of Pentecost, how that the power of the Lord suddenly came, a sound from heaven like the rushing of a violent tempest blast, and it filled the whole house in which they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues resembling fire, which were separated and distributed, and which settled on each one of them. And they were all filled and diffused throughout their souls with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other different foreign tongues, languages, tongues, and the Spirit kept giving them clear and loud expression in each tongue in appropriate words. And the book of Acts is about the infilling of the Holy Spirit and all the acts that God did through the people who had submitted themselves unto God and were filled with the Holy Ghost. And the book of Acts ends like it just drops off the page, because those works are still going on by the power of the Holy Spirit. Say, well, what are some things that the Holy Spirit in my life has done? What does he do? What is his role? He reveals to you the Father's heart. He fills you with the power of the gifts and the fruit of the Spirit of God. He enables you and equips you to do the works of God. I think if we have neglected anything in the church in this hour, in this time, it's the Holy Spirit. Because we're not seeing the powerful demonstrations at times. I won't say this is a blanket for the entire church, but there are definitely, we're not flowing. If you read the book of Acts and you see how the power of the Lord was demonstrated in those pages, and you see what God was doing, and you see the healings and the miracles and the signs and the wonders and all of those marvelous acts of God, then, you know, sometimes I look behind me and I say, are there signs and wonders and miracles that are following me wherever I go? Because that's the power of the Holy Spirit, is this indwelling presence of God in my life, filling me up to the brim, giving me the ability to function on a daily basis, hearing God speak to me, enabling me to know what to do in a circumstance and in a situation, and divine intervention from God's presence, the life of God living inside of me. That's just amazing, isn't it? You have God's life in you. The hardest thing for us is to be governed by the Holy Spirit, to allow His voice to be dominant, to the place to where we're not following our emotions or our feelings or what we might think, but we're doing as the Spirit of God is leading us to do. That's where I feel we often struggle, is in that area. So go to Romans 8. There's so much in here, and I really don't have time today to break everything down, because I'd love to go into the fruits of the Spirit, and then I'd love to go into the gifts of the Spirit. And I think today I'm just going to try to focus on the fact that the Holy Spirit of God is living in us, the very life of God is living in us, and we're to follow the leadings and the promptings of the Spirit, and not just the dictates of our flesh and our carnal nature. So therefore, there is now no condemnation, no judging guilty of wrong for those who are in Christ Jesus, who live and walk not after the dictates of the flesh, but after the dictates of the Spirit. That's a mouthful just by itself. For the law of the Spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus, the law of our new being, has freed me from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law could not do, its power being weakened by the flesh, the entire nature of man without the Holy Spirit. Sending His own Son in the guise of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, God condemned sin in the flesh and subdued and overcame and deprived it of its power over all who accept that sacrifice, so that the righteous and the just requirement of the law might be fully met in us who live and move not in the ways of the flesh, but in the ways of the Spirit. Our lives governed not by the standards and according to the dictates of the flesh, but controlled by the Holy Spirit. For those who are according to the flesh are controlled by its unholy desires and set their minds on and pursue those things which gratify the flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit and are controlled by the desires of the Spirit set their minds, everybody say set their minds, and seek those things which gratify the Holy Spirit. Now the mind of the flesh, which is sense and reason without the Holy Spirit, is death. Death that compromises all the miseries arising from sin. Has anybody in this place ever just did what your flesh wanted and reaped the results and it was miserable? Okay, I'm the only one. I know that we have all at times walked contrary to God's heart, and there have been consequences for that. So what he's doing is he's saying that this is the difference between walking in the Spirit and walking in the flesh. These are the miseries that accompany walking in the flesh, and these are the blessings and what really compromises our life when we walk in the Spirit. But the mind of the Holy Spirit is life and soul peace, both now and forever. There is nothing more wonderful than hearing the voice of God and obeying the counsel and the will of the Holy Spirit of God. There's nothing more wonderful. There's nothing that brings greater peace or greater joy. There's nothing that feels as great in my heart as obeying God as the Spirit of the Lord leads. It's just a beautiful thing. And it brings a life that is eternal, a life that says yes and to the will and the purposes of God. That is, because the mind of the flesh has carnal thoughts and purposes. Listen to that. The mind of the flesh is carnal thoughts and purposes and is hostile to God, for it does not submit itself to God's law, and indeed it cannot. So then those who are living the life of the flesh, that are catering to the appetites and impulses of their carnal nature, cannot please or satisfy God or be acceptable to Him. But you are not living the life of the flesh. You are living the life of the Spirit if, everybody say if, the Holy Spirit of God really dwells within you, directs and controls you. But if anyone does not possess the Holy Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. He does not belong to Christ and is not truly a child of God. But if Christ lives in you, then although your natural body is dead by reason of sin and guilt, the Spirit is alive because of the righteousness that He imputes to you. And if, everybody say if, the Spirit of Him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then He who raised up Christ Jesus from the dead will also restore to life your mortal, short-lived, perishable bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. So not only do you have the promise of the resurrection, of the quickening of your body through the Holy Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead when the Lord returns, but you have this promise of the indwelling, abiding Spirit of God that will govern and lead you all the days of your life. That is beautiful, that God so wants to dwell with us in that manner. That is so beautiful. So then, brethren, we are not debtors. So we are debtors, but not to the flesh. We are not obligated to our carnal nature to live a life ruled by the standards set up by the dictates of the flesh. Paul uses some very strong words to tell us that we're not obligated to follow our fleshly nature anymore, because the fleshly nature has been crucified with Christ, and now the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is living in us, and He is to lead us. For if you live according to the dictates of the flesh, you will surely die. But if through the power of the Holy Spirit, you are habitually, everybody say habitually, putting to death, making extinct, deadening the evil deeds prompted by the body, you shall really and genuinely live forever. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. That's the mark on our life, that we are led by God's Spirit. That's what Moses was crying out when he said, "Unless your presence go with me, don't take me up from here." That's what we cry out, "Lord, fill me and fill me again. Be ever filled with the Holy Spirit. Be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Right? So what can we learn from these valuable things? That every day we have an opportunity to choose. Am I going to follow the leadings of the Spirit and walk in the resurrection power of God? Or am I going to walk in the flesh and do the things that the flesh wants to do? It's a choice. And he says those who make the wise choice would rather do the will of God and follow the leadings of the Spirit and have the life of God flowing through them and all of the gifts and all of the fruit of God's character flowing through them on a daily basis in the everyday affairs of life than they would to walk in the pleasures of sin for the moment and the carnal nature. Their hearts are so one with God, so one with Him, that their sole purpose is to just allow Him to flow through them, to be a body filled with God. And there's nothing more beautiful than that. I've walked in both. I've lived very carnal at times in my life. I've pursued the things of the world. I've wanted more of this life. And it always leaves me wanting more and never really being satisfied. Not that there aren't things that God has given us to be enjoyed, but there's something wonderful about being filled with the Holy Spirit of God, to where everything that you do has life coming out of it. And it's not just in the dynamic workings of the gifts of the Spirit, right? Because those are dynamic and they're working, they're powerful. There's the gift of faith, the gift of healings, the gift of tongues, interpretation of tongues. There's not just the 1 Corinthians 12 gifts that are powerful and dynamic, though we should have those in our life working and functioning in the church everywhere we go. We should be functioning in the gifts that God has called us unto. But there's something about being able to walk in the Holy Spirit in the daily things of life and hearing God lead and guide us in the daily things of life. My little pointer finger's out like a mama. Right? How important is that? Am I following God in the daily things of life? Out of my relationship with God, am I being obedient? I'm going to kind of tell on my son a little bit, and then I'll tell on myself. We were down at his house this past week, and he's down there, and he's talking about the traffic and everything and how difficult it is and where he's at. And he's frustrated because I think you understand that as the world continues to go darker, God's children really do get lighter because they're so in contrast to the world, right? So we were down there talking, and he got aggravated. He was in the line at McDonald's, and he's trying to get, you know, he's waiting in line just like everybody else. It's a pretty busy place. And there's a guy. It just cut through the line. I think it was a lady that cut through the line, and she just went, you know, how they have the two lanes, and she just went past everybody and just went on to get in front. Does anybody, any of that make y'all mad? And so my son is, you know, sitting there, and he's frustrated. And he just can't believe it. And the car behind her follows also. And now there's all these people just skipping line and all these other people that have been waiting for long periods of time. Look at all the men going, injustice, this is wrong. You know, you get back in line where you belong. Well, that's kind of how he felt. And he got angry. And I don't know at that moment that he said, Holy Spirit of God. Right? You know, what should I do at this very moment? Because the carnal nature wants to dominate, right, and have control. So all of a sudden, he gets out of the car. He gets out of the car. And he comes over. And he's like, what are you doing?
We're in line. Can't you see all these other people? And who do you think you are? Do you think you're better than everybody else that's been waiting here for 10, 20 minutes, you know? And he just lets them have it. And the guy's like, you know, whoa. And so the guy goes around and he parks his car and he goes inside. And, you know, he goes inside and he looks at, you know, he's leaving and he looks at my son and he goes, hey, buddy. you know, like, whoa. And so we're having this big discussion, my husband and I and my son. And we're all talking about, you know, the Holy Spirit. I look, because Brian's like, you just get sick of people like that. You just get sick of everybody just doing what they want to do, and they're all acting in the flesh, and they don't care and have no regard for people, and you get tired of it, and you just want to take matters into your own hand. You just want to deal with it, and some people aren't going to listen if you don't give it to this way. This is the discussion. It's interesting. And I'm just sitting there listening to them, and they're just going at it. Now, mind you, I don't have to deal with a lot of the things that they have to deal with because they're out in the public more than I am. But it's still frustrating. How many have experienced this, right? Okay, you get frustrated, right? You have to deal with people. Sometimes they don't know. They ain't flowing in the Holy Spirit. You know, they're not saying, how can I bless your life today and make it better? Right? They're not doing that. You know, they're not flowing in it. They're like, hey, can you get me one more of these? And I'm sick of that, you know, and they're just telling you what to do. So they're operating in the carnal nature, and we're trying to operate in the Holy Spirit. I looked at my son, and I said, I understand that was frustrating to you, but can I ask you a question? He looks at me, and he goes, yeah, Mom. And I said, what did the Holy Spirit tell you to do? And he was like, you know, I said, did you ask the Holy Spirit? And he's like, no, I didn't ask the Holy Spirit. And it just became a moment when, at what point does the life of God in us impact these decisions, these things? Right? Is there a space of time that we have to choose how we're going to respond? That's what he's talking about. Out of the flesh or out of the spirit, right? And what did he say? That those who operate in the Spirit or who are led by the Spirit are what? The sons of the daughters of God. Those are those difficult places. That's where I'm trying to get you to think. In your everyday life, when you're in traffic and you've got that person that just cut you off and they are, right? And then they flipped you the bird. As you went by, right? And you're like, I'm going to flip it back in the name of the, no. You're like the Holy Spirit saying no. No. Responding in those critical niches of time. How do I respond? Because the fruit of the Spirit, the DNA of God is living inside of you. Love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, that would be self-control. That means God's given you the ability to control yourself. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't times for justice. There aren't times when we might need to say something. I told him, I said, take that situation. How could you have responded in a better way, maybe? Because that was probably scary, you know, just for a minute. I said, just take that situation. Do you think that maybe you could have flipped it and maybe just, okay, get out of your car, tap on the window, and maybe say, you know, everybody's here's waiting. You know, it was kind of disrespectful. The impulses are called impulses for a reason. They're quick. Quick to move out of a reaction of emotion.
To be led by the Holy Spirit means you've surrendered your emotions to God to be led and governed by Him. Right? God cares about everything. He cares about everything. He really does. Where you live, what your job is, where you go to church, how you respond. He's very personal, as we have already discussed. And so out of that personal relationship with Him, because He's living in you and you're His temple, He wants you to respond to things as He would, because ultimately in the end, life is going to be produced out of that, the life of God, right? How many have ever been tempted to do anything that you really, your impulses were telling you? And you, how many have ever obeyed your impulses and reaped the consequences? Okay, and how many have obeyed the Holy Spirit and felt the joy of that moment? Right? Isn't there a big difference? Isn't there a big contrast? So what I'm trying to say is, when He uses terms like led, governed, controlled, that means somebody's got to, that word. You know that word? Surrender, submit. To be led means you have to be able to follow. I'm just saying that I think if we were operating in this intimacy with God and being led and governed and controlled by His Spirit and being more submissive to Him, that maybe we would be more careful about what we said, what we did. And we could actually allow God to flow through us in a way that brought more of a reflection of God's presence to our lives. I've done it. I've done just what my son did and reaped the consequences of disobedience. But I've also flowed in the Holy Spirit of God and allowed Him to flow through the gifts and had an outcome that was life-changing for other people. And I just know that that's the way we're supposed to operate. And you say, well, some people are going to take advantage of that. No, it's true. They're going to consider that you're weak. They're going to, on purpose, mistreat you. Brian's back there nodding his head because... And I think there is a balance. I think our God is a God of justice. I think there are things that we can confront and deal with in an appropriate way as the Spirit leads us. But to take matters sometimes into our own hands and to try to bring that justice. Brian always says, vengeance is mine, saith Brian. And I'm like, no, that is a misquote of that scripture. Right? Or he'll say, did you see Jesus in the temple? Listen, whenever Brian wants to use justice, he talks about Jesus in the temple. Did you see Him with the whip and He chased those money changers out of them and He flipped over those tables? Well, and that's his way of saying, I'm just like Jesus in this situation. And I'm just saying, you know, that we really have to have a humble and an open heart to God to truly be led by the situations that we will all encounter. And the way that God deals with you, Woody, about the same situation that I may be facing, He may deal with you totally different. It's not going to be contrary to His word. It's not going to be contrary to God's word. It always confirms the word. But the way that He has you deal with it and the way that I deal with it may be different. But the result is still being led by the Holy Spirit. Because God knows different people, how they flow, how they move, how they respond, right? So it's very important that we're sensitive to the Holy Spirit and how He wants to deal with the situation, how He wants to deal with a person, how He wants to deal with life. We just want to get to the place to where the Holy Spirit of God is leading our lives and governing our lives. And the Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead, that powerful Spirit, that mighty Spirit, right? Because that's what we're talking about, is how great He is actually leading and guiding and governing our lives on a daily basis. And there is fruit
that is following us. I had a dream recently that I was in the back of a truck of fruit. And in this truck, there was fruit everywhere. And the fruit was just falling out as we went along. And the Lord said, this is what life is supposed to be, the fruit of the Spirit flowing through you. And then another dream where I had a water spout. And I was just going everywhere and just watering people and watering things. And that means everywhere you go, the life of God's word is flowing through you. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is flowing through you. The life of God. And we have to be aware of that in our lives. Will we mess up sometimes? Absolutely. Will we sometimes do things out of the carnal nature and then have to go back? Anybody that's married knows that, yes, you're going to have to go back and fix that. You know, when you said something you shouldn't or did something that you shouldn't. But the point that I want to make to you today is, if the same power that rose Jesus from the dead lives in you, the DNA of God is in you, then we should be responding to life out of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. And that is a different life indeed. And can I say, this is my closing line, it is impossible to not look like Jesus when you're living that way. Because there aren't very many people that do. Amen. Let's stand up. Father, we're just grateful that you didn't leave us here as orphans, and that through the power of the Holy Spirit, you have planted yourself inside of us. You are affecting every part of our life. You wake us up in the middle of the night and you warn us maybe about a child that is making a wrong decision, and you do that through a dream or through a vision. Your spirit sends a warning or an alarm, or the peace is kind of taken away for just a moment because there's something that you're trying to move us to. You're trying to speak to us. You're trying to talk to us. You're trying to live with us on a daily basis. And you're saying, unless you abide in me and my spirit abide in you, unless you live in me and my spirit live in you, unless you're walking intimately and connected to me like a vine, so deeply in oneness with me, you're going to miss the leadings of God and the promptings of God in your life. And if you miss those, there is potential to get off track and to get away from God and to not respond to situations as you would want us to. You want us to make an impact in the world. You said the very life of God that is within us is needing to be dispersed through our lives to show others around us that God is alive, that God is active, that God is good, that God is moving, that God is just, that God is holy, that God is fair, that God is full, well-rounded, living through us and being displayed through your people. So, Father, right now, I pray that we would just receive the Holy Spirit, your people. The world doesn't know anything about the Holy Spirit. All they know is carnality and walking in the flesh. But we who are called by your name, Father, we who have lived for you and who are abiding in you and who are in oneness with you through the Holy Spirit of God should be living a life governed by your Spirit. And I just throw my hands up in the air and I just say, Father, forgive me for the times when I walked in my flesh and walked by my carnal impulses and allowed this world to become more important than following the leadings of your Spirit, which ultimately would bring forth life for myself and for others. Help me, Father, to obey the leadings and the promptings of God. Fill me again, afresh and anew with the Spirit. May I ever be filled with the Spirit of God, and may you ever be leading me into your perfect will. In Jesus' mighty name, and amen.